Today is our Without service. So that's the title of today's service. It's called Without. And during the preaching time, I'll explain a little bit about why it's called Without, or why we've titled today's service Without. If you've come and I've invited you, or any of our shepherds, or maybe even somebody else has invited you, you know, it's a blessing that you've been invited to church. Many people don't prioritize church on Sunday mornings. You know, on a Sunday morning, you can make your priority many things. You can make your priority to get ready for the work week, get ready for school this week, get ready for the events ahead. Maybe you have an appointment this week, whatever it may be, but many people don't make time for God this week. And I hope that today, you know, as you've taken this decision to make this short time for God, the message today is very brief and short. But as you've taken the decision today to make the time for God, I believe that you'll be blessed and you'll leave with something new in you. Amen. So let's just have a quick word of prayer as we begin today's service. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you for all of these souls, all of these people who have come to church today and have gathered here with us. Lord, I pray, God, that your hand will be with us throughout this service, God. Use me, Lord, to say something, to bless somebody with a message, Lord. I pray, God, that you will keep us, that you will direct us, Lord, even after today's church service, as we enter into our work week and into our school week, Lord. I pray, God, that you will not forget us, God. Those who have taken a decision to come to church this morning, God, remember them, God. See what is in their heart for the fact that they even came to church, Lord. See that they have a desire to want to hear from you, and bless them, God. Open a door for them to be heard. Open a door for them, God, to get closer to you. Lord, your word says, blessed are those whom you call to approach. God, as these ones, and as we've all come to church this afternoon, you've given us a chance to come closer, God. And I pray, God, that we'll be blessed for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So yeah, welcome everyone once again to church. So this is First Love Church Delaware, for those of you who do not know. First Love Church Delaware, but we are actually, you know, we have base in also Philly as well. So it doesn't matter where you live, whether you live in Delaware or maybe you live in the Pennsylvania area. We are a church that can serve you. And by God's grace, we hope that after today's service, you'll want to join us. Amen. So if you look in the chat box, I believe Jody sent a link in the chat box. It would take you to a Google form that I would please, if it's your first time, I would ask you to fill out. Just take it very quick and short form, but I would ask you to just take a few moments and fill it out. There's actually a special gift that I can give you at the end, but in order to get the gift, you must fill out the prize. I'm sorry, you must fill out the form first, and I can give it to you. It's actually a book by our very own prophet, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. So I can send that to you if you can fill out the form. All right. So Without, why are we calling today's service Without? Or why is it called Without? So in the Bible, or, you know, when you take a decision to become a Christian, many people move and live in life as if they don't need God, or they don't need to have Jesus Christ with them. In the Bible, Jesus said again and again, you'll see that word, that short and simple word, without, used again and again. And in the Bible, many people behave, or they even think, or they live like they don't need Jesus, or they don't need God, or they don't need to be saved. You see, but this morning, as you come to church, you know, if you take anything away from today's service, please take away that you need to be saved, right? Each and every single one of you, all 18 of us, or I think it was even 22 or 21 at a point, all of us, and also anybody else who may be joining you, who maybe isn't on a device, right? And they just may be listening. I'm here to tell you, if you can hear my voice, I'm here to tell you that, you know, you need to be saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. It's a blessing to be saved, right? Being saved is what separates those of us who call ourselves Christian from those of us who don't. And there's a difference in the way you must live. There's a difference in the way you must talk when you decide to say that you're a Christian. So I'm going to give us today four times in the Bible where Jesus used the word Without. And it's a very short and powerful message. So I would recommend listening again, right? So we also have a podcast. If you have an iPhone, you can search us on the Apple Podcast. Just search FLC Delaware. If you also have Spotify, you can also search us and re-listen to my messages, or re-listen to today's message again. So four times in the Bible where Jesus used the word Without. First is John 15, chapter 5, please. John sorry, John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15 and verse 5. Your Bible with you. Come to church. It's a very good habit or practice to bring your Bible with you. Jesus says here in John 15, 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Or yeah, Jesus said without him. So without Jesus, we can do nothing. There is nothing that we will be able to accomplish on this earth. Without him, he must bless everything we do. You see, if you're in school and you're trying to graduate, you cannot do it without Jesus. If you have a job and maybe you are working and maybe you want a higher position, or maybe you want a new job, or maybe you want to move on, there is nothing that you can do in this world without Jesus. You know, people talk sometimes when you listen to people talk, it's almost as if it's like Jesus or God is not even included. Like they talk about all these extravagant plans. They talk about all these plans for the future. They talk about what they want to do next year and the year after that and the year after that. But what you seem to forget and what many people seem to forget is that who told you you may have until next year? Or who told you you may have until the next 2 years? You see, you must include Jesus in all your plans that you have here on earth. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 4, if you can turn your Bibles there, I don't believe it's one of the verses that we have, but I believe it'll be a blessing to read it. So if you have your Bible, and you can open to the book of James chapter 4. It just was imprinted into my heart to read. James chapter 4, if you read from verse 13, the Bible says, and I'm reading in the NIV version, the Bible says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Verse 14, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live, we will do this, and we will do that. Amen. Yeah, it is wise to say that, oh, if it's God willing, next year I can move here and I can do this. But if you read the verse 16, the Bible actually says, as it is you who boast in your arrogant scheme. So when you speak about future plans and you don't actually say God's name, or you don't actually say, oh, if it's God's will, or you don't actually say, oh, God willing, when you speak about future plans and you negate God, or you actually leave him out of the sentence, it shows that there's some evil in you. Yeah, it says, because the Bible says in verse 16 that as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Yeah, it is evil. And this is something that, you know, we all might do. Sometimes we're just speaking about things and we assume that we have time, we have life. But, you know, there's been many times where I've read books written by people who were maybe close to death, or maybe written by people who have died and then they come back. And they always say one thing, that the biggest shock they realize is it is like a surprise to die. Like the fact that they are actually dead, or the fact that they are actually in that position, it is actually a surprise for them. So I just want to encourage us today, you know, when we speak about next year, or when we speak about maybe 2 years from now, we shouldn't assume that we have the time. We shouldn't assume that we have the next 3 years. We should say that, oh, God willing, I will move to a city and I will do this and I will do that. It is only by God's grace that we have even been carried into 2021. Just think about the number of people last year alone who passed away during the pandemic. And you are here April 25th in church on Zoom during a pandemic, or maybe post-pandemic. I mean, it's actually a blessing that you still have life, and it's actually a blessing that you are still here. And the Bible says that if last year has taught us anything, it is to know that the person who is really, really in control is God. There's not a government who's in control. There's not a person who's really in control. It is God. One person can set out something, and all of a sudden, it's like you can't fly. You can't travel. You can't leave your house. There's a point in time in the pandemic, I remember I was even afraid, thinking, you know, should I even go to the grocery store? Like, people were actually having such questions. So the fact that you have life, the fact that you are still here, the fact that you are still breathing, you know, it's a blessing. And I just want to encourage you, when you speak about, you know, what's to come next, or when you speak about your future plans, you know, include God in that. Yeah, many young people, one of the problems that we have, and, you know, I believe we're all young people, but many young people, one of the problems that we have you know, when it comes to church is that, I'm sorry, when it comes to life is actually that we assume that we have time. Yeah, we speak in a way, we come up with all of these plans, all of these great and wonderful plans, which are not even really that great. But we come up with all of these great and wonderful plans about what we want to do next, what we want our future to be, what we want this, what we want that. But the challenge or the problem with that type of lifestyle or with that type of mindset is that you assume as if it's that easy. But see, life is not that straightforward. Life is never that easy. Nothing in life just comes like that. Nothing in life just happens like that. If you've been around for a little bit, or you've experienced some things, or even if you're just a little bit older, you'll realize that maybe the things you are doing in your life today are none of them are actually what you had planned to do. None of them are actually what you plan to do. Even some of us who are much younger may feel like and realize that when you look back, maybe the college you're at now, you never thought you'd be there. Maybe what your major is now, what you're studying now, you actually never thought that this is what you'd be doing at this time in your life. So life is not just so straightforward. And we shouldn't assume that when we speak, when we create all these great and wonderful plans, that it's just supposed to happen because you are saying so. Always remember that it is God willing, and it is by the grace of God that you can do and accomplish anything. Ephesians 2, verse 12, please. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Just remember that it's always God who gives you a future. Ephesians 2, and verse 12, it says that, remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Verse 13. Oh, do we have verse 13? I guess we don't. It's okay. I can read verse 13. This is why it's important to come to church with your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, for those of you who have your Bible. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. By the blood of Christ, by you know, accepting and by participating in the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. That is how you are brought near. And that's why today, you know, we are actually going to be taking communion today. So if you are at home and if you can quickly get your hands on a cracker, a piece of bread, if you have some juice, some water, anything that will symbolize the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, we're actually taking communion today at the end of service. The Bible is saying in Ephesians 2:13 that it is by the blood of Christ that you are brought near. You see, by simply being in this church at this time on this Sunday afternoon, it's an opportunity for you to be brought near. Amen. The next time in the Bible, Jesus uses the word without, or the next time we find the word without, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, please. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. Amen. The Bible is telling us here that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You see, every job, every school, everything you want to typically do in this life has a qualification. And you see, the qualification for seeing the Lord, the qualification for making it into heaven is with holiness. Holiness is how you will make it into heaven. If you read Revelation chapter 2 and verse 19, Revelations 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, I know your deeds. Yeah. This is actually, if you read the book of Revelation in itself is actually a prophecy. Yeah, so obviously for those of you who may not know, you know, when Jesus was here on earth, he had his 12 disciples. The youngest of the 12 was someone named John. John, after all the disciples and all the apostles had passed away, in the book of Revelation, it's believed that it was written by John. And John was the one who was writing these visions. These were all visions. So whenever you read the book of Revelation and it's like somebody's saying that, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, it's actually what was written by John. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 19, this is a vision that John is having. And he's saying that, you know, that someday when we get to heaven, God will tell us, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Amen. You are now doing more than you did at first. By simply being in this church on Sunday, you are now doing more than what you may have done at first. Maybe for some of you, this is your first time in church in a while. You see, you are now doing more. If you come again next week, you are doing more. If you keep coming, you are doing more. Yeah, but and by doing more, you are showing the holiness that will allow you to see God. You must continue to do more. Don't allow yourself to be stopped, or don't allow yourself to be cut off from the opportunity to make it to heaven and to see God. Don't allow your flesh or the desires of your flesh to keep you away from God. Revelations 2:9, please. Revelations 2:9. It says that I know your afflictions and your poverty. Yeah, God will know your poverty. He will know the things that are afflicting you. So you see, when the Bible says here that I know your afflictions, what he's actually trying to say is that he will know the things that are causing you to sin, or he will know the things that are making you sin again and again, or he will know the things that are causing you to be troubled. Don't think that, oh, because don't allow yourself, you know, to feel like, oh, maybe I'm too bad, or maybe I'm not as spiritual enough, or maybe this person doesn't have as much sin as I do. No, don't allow those type of thoughts to come to mind, because what those thoughts do is they keep you away from God. They keep you away from trying to get close. And the Bible is saying here that God actually would tell you, I know your afflictions. Like, he knows the things that will trouble you. He says, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Yeah, some people that we see here on earth are actually synagogues of Satan. Like, they are actually embodiments of Satan. They're actually carrying Satan when you see them. Mercy, Lord. So you must believe and you must acknowledge the fact that, you know, God will know what your afflictions are. God will know what you suffered. God will know what you've gone through. He understands the things you've gone through. And you must remember that. You know, in the Bible, there's a story of the rich man and Lazarus. For those of you who maybe don't know, there's a story in the Bible of the rich man and Lazarus. And this story actually paints a picture-perfect example of what will happen someday. You know, someday when we get to heaven, if we can read that story. Luke 16, please. Maybe the next slide. If I'm not mistaken, Luke chapter 16. Yes, Luke chapter 16. So this is a story that if you want, you can read it with us. You can open your own Bible and read it. You can also read it on your own time, maybe even after service. But Luke 16, the Bible says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores. Next verse. Going to move quickly because of time, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Next verse. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. So you see, the rich man was still on earth, but the beggar, most of the time, poor people pass away first because they don't have access to health care, proper nutrition, things like that. So the beggar passed away first. And the angels carried him to Abraham's side, or heaven, you see, or heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. The rich man died next, was buried. Next verse. In Hades, or you can say, oh, this is also in hell. So in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So you see, just for those of you who are following, you know, at this point in time, the rich man has gone to hell. Yeah, because he wasn't living in a certain way, because he hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. Yeah, because he hasn't accepted his heart to Jesus Christ, he was living in a certain way. And the Bible is saying here that he was in hell. And the poor man who had accepted Christ and had believed. Now, this isn't to say that all rich people will go to hell, please. But what I'm saying is that if you are rich, you must still accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. The Bible is saying that in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away so he could see. So for those of you who maybe sometimes feel like the topic or the idea of heaven and hell is a bit spooky, you know, when we get to eternity, when we get to heaven, or when you are actually getting judged, you'll be able to see with your physical eyes, because the Bible says that the rich man could see afar off. He could see Abraham with Lazarus by his side. Next verse. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Do you know how hot it must be in hell for him to be asking, not for a bottle of water, not for a glass of water, not even for maybe a bowl of water. He's asking just to dip the tip of his finger to cool his tongue and to cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. Yeah. So what this story is telling us so far is that if you go to hell, you'll be able to see, you'll be able to feel, all your senses will be there. Next verse, verse 25. But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here in your agony." Yeah, how many of us feel comfort? We feel good. We feel like we have the things we need. So we forget about God. We forget about the fact that there's a life after this life. We forget about the fact that something is coming next. Abraham's response to the rich man was that, remember in your lifetime, you received good things. So you'll be able to remember. This story always frightens me because it's the fact that I will be able to remember the life I had on earth. I'll be able to remember the things I did and the things I didn't do. Yeah. He says that, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Yeah, there are some of us who are very comforted while we are here on earth, but there's a day coming, we may be in agony. Mercy. Next verse. I feel like the chat box has become quiet. And besides all this, between us and you, our great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So you cannot cross over from heaven to hell. Next verse. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Yeah, he's actually saying that he remembers his brothers and he knows the way they are living. And he's asking Abraham, send Lazarus, to send someone to them to warn them, please. Verse 29. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." Amen. So a true prophet, when you meet somebody or you hear of somebody who says that, "Oh, I'm a prophet," or "I'm a prophet." A prophet is not just somebody who can tell you about your future. A prophet is someone who brings salvation. Because when Abraham was talking to the rich man, his response to the topic of salvation and his brothers being saved was, "They have the prophets." You see, a prophet is someone who brings salvation. And they have Moses. Moses was like a type of pastor. So for some of you, as you've come to this church today, I am like your Moses. I am bringing you salvation today. Yeah, and you must be ready to receive it. You must be ready to accept the idea that God has called you here today to be saved so that your life can turn around. Next verse. "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Next verse, please. He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets," so if you cannot listen to your pastors and to our prophets, "they will not be convinced if someone rises from the dead." So if you can't accept me, and if you can't accept the prophets, if you can't accept people who are here trying to give you salvation, that means that you will not be able to accept if somebody rises from the dead and tells you what they have seen in heaven or hell. You won't accept it. Yeah. So I just want to encourage us today, you know, by this short story, if you want to go back and reread it again, I just want to encourage us today that, you know, heaven is real and hell is real. And this story that I've just read is actually what will take place. There are every dead person that you know of, that you can think of and imagine that is dead or has passed away, they are still alive. They are somewhere and they have the ability to see. They have the ability to sense. They have the ability to remember. They have the ability to even feel. Yeah, they can feel, sense, think everything. This was a full-on conversation as if these two people were on earth. And there's a conversation that took place in heaven and in hell. Yeah, so I just want us to remember that, you know, life after this life is real. And the qualification for having a good life after this life is holiness, defined in Hebrews 12 and verse 14. It's actually holiness. Holiness is what will bring you a good life after this life. Amen. Hebrews 11, 6, quickly as we move on. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Without faith. Yeah, you must have faith in order to please God. If you're going to please God and you do not have faith, it is impossible to do so. Now, what is faith, right? The Bible defines faith in the book of Hebrews 11, 1, as faith is the evidence of things unseen. So when you have faith in something, is what you don't see. Yeah, when you believe in God, you are believing in something you don't see. The fact that you even feel a need to read your Bible is a sign of your faith. The fact that you've come to church today is a sign of your faith, you see? So the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen. Yeah, earnestly seek him. So what is earnestly seeking God, right? Earnestly seeking God is daily quiet time. your daily time spent reading the Bible, your daily time spent trying to study the Word of God. Recently, I was talking with someone and they were telling me about how their quiet time has become more consistent. Like there was a point in time they were only reading their Bible once or twice a week. Now they're reading their Bible 4 or 5 times a week. And it's a blessing, you see, because they are getting closer to God as they read their Bible, as they're pursuing to study God's word. They are getting closer to God and God is opening a door for them to get closer to them, to him. So as you are reading your Bible, I want to encourage each and every one of us here today. You know, don't be discouraged. I can tell a lot of times for a lot of Christians, it's discouragement. It's like you feel like maybe you don't live a certain life, or you feel like you're not this perfect person, or you feel like, oh, because you do X, Y, and Z, you can't serve God, you can't be a Christian. But don't let people try and put you in a box, or don't let people try and define how you can be a Christian. You are a Christian because you have a desire to be close with God, or you will be saved because you have a desire to be close with God. What will make you close to him is your desire. It's not the way you are living your life. It's not by not doing this. You don't do this. That is not how you will be saved. What is going to make you saved is by what is in here. It's not by, oh, well, I don't do this sin. I don't do that sin. I don't do that sin. Listen, let me tell you a secret. Many of the people you meet who actually are always talking about, oh, I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do this. I don't do that. They are the worst Christians. They don't read their Bible also. They don't listen to messages also. They are jealous Christians. They are spiteful. They are prideful. They are bitter. They are all of those things. So don't let people judge you and look down on you maybe because you don't live a certain life. The Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So God knows what is in your heart. When you come to church, when you are choosing to come again and again, when you choose to come next week, and I believe that we'll all come back next week. When you choose to come next week, you are believing and you are showing God what is in your heart, right? So I just want us to be encouraged. I just want us to believe that God wants us to get closer to him, whichever way you can, right? And take the necessary steps. You know, from today, we're going to give everyone a chance to give their life to Christ. After today, begin to take the steps, right? If you are questioning how, or you are questioning how do you maybe put one foot in front of the other, feel free to message myself, message any of the shepherds here, message the person who invited you. Yeah, message the person who invited you to church today, and I believe it will be a blessing. And then lastly, Hebrews 9:22, as we close. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Amen. You see, a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. And you see, why is Easter important? Easter is important because the act of what Jesus did on the cross that day, and the fact that he died for our sins, he died for you and me on the cross, the fact that he did that was our forgiveness. He died for our sins 2,000 years ago. He died for us. He died for the mistakes we will make today, or the mistakes you will make next month, or the mistakes you'll make in October. Yeah, the sin that you may make in October, he died for that sin 2,000 years ago. And I just want to encourage us to believe it. That's why we're taking communion today. You see, that's why we are taking communion, because communion, the Bible says about communion, do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. Like, don't forget the fact that he did it for you. Don't forget the fact that he went and suffered for you. You know, a few weeks ago, we taught on Easter Sunday, and I was sharing about how Jesus didn't actually want to die on Easter Sunday. But if you read in Matthew 26, the Bible says that Jesus actually went and prayed 3 times, let this cup pass from me. The cup that he was talking about was the cup of dying on the cross. He didn't want to die on the cross. That's the idea and the suffering and the experience he was going to go through. It was too much for him. Yeah, it was a lot for him. But he knew it had to be done. It had to be done for you and I. So let's remember him and let's choose to live in a certain way that honors him. Amen. So this time, let's just have a quick word of prayer, wherever you may be. Let's bow our head and close our eyes and just pray for yourself. You know, pray for your heart, right? Pray that God will continue to help you to come closer. Pray that no one else's faith will define how you choose to serve God. Just lift up your voice wherever you may be and pray for a few moments. Father, we give you thanks for this time in your presence. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, God. We thank you, Lord, for this chance to be here in service today, God. We thank you, Lord, that you've kept us, Lord, that you've given us a chance. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to keep us, continue to guide us, continue to protect us, Lord. Father, I pray for anyone who's chosen to come to service today. I pray, Lord, that you bless them with this opportunity. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for giving them this chance to be saved, God. For everyone who's here today in church, if this is your first time, if you do not know where you are going to go someday when you die, maybe you don't know if you're going to go to heaven or if you're going to go to hell. Just maybe come off of mute if you want to turn off your mute. And just say this prayer alongside with me. I think it would be a blessing. So if you could just repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I know I am a sinner. And I know I have sinned against you. Father, I want to be yours and only yours.
Father, I want to be yours and only yours.
I know that Jesus, you love me more than anything. And I want to love you back just as much.
I want to love you back just as much.
Father, please forgive me.
Father, please forgive me.
Please write my name in the book of life.
Please,
O Lord, come into my heart. Let my heart be pure and holy in your truth.
Let my heart be pure and holy in your truth.
Satan, you're speaking to Satan. Satan, you no longer have a hold on me.
Satan, you no longer have a hold on me.
I no longer have the spirit of fear in me.
I no longer have the spirit of fear in me.
But rather the spirit of courage and security.
Rather the spirit of courage and security in me.
Thank you, God, for saving me. And for loving me. I now believe I am truly your son or daughter.
I now believe that I am truly your daughter.
Amen. So at this time, if you've given your life to Christ today, once again, like I said, I believe Jody, we can send the link again in the chat box, but there's a form for you to fill out if it's your first time, if you've given your life to Christ, we can follow up with you, but we would really appreciate it if you could fill out the form. If you know anybody who maybe was on earlier and had to jump off, once the link is sent, also send them the link and allow us to follow up with them as well. Amen. So once again, I just want to thank everyone for coming to church, coming to our Without service. I believe it's been a blessing. I believe everyone has enjoyed themselves by God's grace. So at this time, we're going to take our communion before we go quickly. We're going to take our communion. So if we could please have our communion projected, that would be great. Amen. So if you're able to, before we show the communion video, just get maybe some bread, a cracker, whatever you may have with you to project. To take part of the communion, and also have some wine, some juice, some water, anything to represent the blood of Christ. Amen. So we can play that video now.
Father, your word says the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the Lord Jesus Christ? As we come before this holy bread, may we be blessed and healed as we lift up this bread, turn it into the body of Jesus Christ for us, and heal us of our plagues and our curses. The body of Jesus Christ. How many were part of the lying, the telling lies bomb? How many are part of the cheating bomb and the wickedness bomb How many are part of all the bombs? What is left of you? Do you have any legs left? This blood is the answer to all your mistakes. The blood that Jesus shed
for me. Way back on Calvary, oh, the blood that gives me strength
from day to day. The blood that Jesus shed.
The blood that Jesus shed for me.
Way down on Calvary.
Way down on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day.
This blood is the answer for our mistakes. It is the reason for us all to be gathered here. It's the payment for our crimes, the biggest crimes and our lowest valley that we've ever sunk to. The blood, Matara, Matole, Makadomare. Receive the blood of Jesus. Receive it.
Mountain.
Lift your hands. May your sins be forgiven. May you be rescued from the lowest valley. May you be picked up by the Lord from the highest mountain and brought into the camp of the redeemed, the camp of the rescued, the camp of the forgiven, and the camp of the restored. Lift your hand, the blood of Jesus. The blood
of Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day.
I thank you. Lift your face up upon these people, Lord. Everyone that is part of this great Holy Communion service. Lift your face up, Lord. Reverse your anger. Reverse the curse, Lord. Reverse the punishment, Lord. Let the punishment end, Lord. Let the blessing replace the curse. Superimpose upon our lives the goodness, the mercies from your heart, O Lord. Show us mercy and remember us. Thank you. Thank you. Receive the grace to be rescued and restored and be recaptured by the Lord and realigned into His will. May your life go on a higher and a better course from now. Whatever negative activations you have activated in the devil's garden, you are delivered from them now. And you are set free. And you are restored. Let His blessing, the blessing of His body, and the blessing of His blood, rest upon you in the name of Jesus. And everyone shouted, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And it reaches.
And it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley.
It's flowing right now in your life. The blood of Jesus. Everyone.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone, Amen. For participating in our communion time. I think it was a blessing. So that was our communion with our prophet, Bishop Dag Hayward Mills. He's the founder of our church all over the world. It's a church. First Life Church is not just a singular church. It's a church that has over 3,000 branches all over the world in many several different denominations. In several different countries all over the world. Amen. So at this time, I think we can actually welcome our Madam X, Jody, to come and bless us and come and give us our announcements. Yay. Thank you, everyone, who stayed this long. Amen.
Amen. All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
As for bowing,
we will bow.
We will bow.
As for bowing,
we will bow.
And a bow too late
is a bow.
Is a bow
and a bow too late
is a bow.
Is a bow indeed.
All right. Okay. So if it's your first time again joining us for today, we just want to give you a big warm welcome on behalf of Elder Dylan, on behalf of First Love Church Delaware. You are welcome, and we hope we can see you again next time. So for the announcements, please join us for impartation service with our Bishop, Bishop Henry, this Tuesday at 8 p.m. First Love Center Philly is meeting this week, Wednesday at 8 p.m. and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. So if you're interested, of course, reach out and we will definitely give you more information on that. Please subscribe to our very own prophet, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Oh, come on, make some noise for Bishop Dag. Okay. Please subscribe to him on Apple Podcasts and Spotify by just searching Dag Heward Mills in the search bar, of course. Wow. And subscribe to our own First Love Church Delaware podcast to listen to today's message again. And just search FLC Delaware on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And the best part is that we have a new ministry. Make some noise. Make some noise for the new ministry. Okay. We have our new ministry. It's called Flow Flashback. We didn't get to do it today, but usually that's when we kind of give a little snippet from what our prophet preached to us during the flow service. And we are looking for people who are interested in giving a little snippet or summary each Sunday of what they personally took from the flow service. So if you're interested, of course, reach out to our Elder Dylan for more information. And now that's it for announcements. So now let's get ready to share the grace and do the grace dance, okay? Amen.
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 All right. And now may the
grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love
of God,
the communion,
the fellowship, the contribution, the participation of the Holy Spirit,
and
the 25,000 children of God, which includes all for my life. And the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be with us now and forevermore.
Amen. Many are called, but the youth are chosen.
Amen. Many are called, but the youth are chosen. Amen. All right, it's time for the grace dance. Everyone should do their best dance, their best move, because it's a blessing to be here, okay? So your moves, whatever. Come on, DJ. Okay.